You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout. A Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into a Thursday night, late night edition of Shout at Buffalo Bills Football Podcast. We got to break in because some big news tonight. I was about 10 minutes away from my class starting at UB, and of course, the Bills decided to make their biggest move of the week, signing Curtis Samuel to a reported 3-year deal worth $24 million. That could be worth as much as $31 million with some incentives and some escalators. And we'll get into the contract. We'll get into the fit. We'll get into the move. We'll get into all of it. And where you can get into all of it with us, Ryan, one-on-two, anytime you want, is if you become a Shout Buffalo Bills insider. And you can do that by texting 716-528-6727. Become an insider. You get a 2-week free trial. Anytime you want to talk Bills, you got a question, you got a comment, you got a concern, you got a take that you want to test out, you could send it to me and Ryan and we'll respond in a timely manner. It's not always immediate, but we try to get back to you as soon as possible. And this is a busy time in the insider chat. And the insider chat is brought to you by Carrie C. Beyer, attorney with the law offices of Francis M. Litra, located at 237 Main Street in Buffalo, New York. If you or someone you know is seriously injured, please give him a call, 716-852-1234, or check out litrolaw.com. All right, Ryan, what is going on, my friend?
Not too much. Yeah, you know, you were getting ready for some class and responsibilities. I was on a podcast with our friends over in the UK, and I got a message, and then I forwarded it right to you saying, oh, I think this is going to happen. And before we knew it, it was official, and the Bills made what I consider a big splash in adding Curtis Samuel to this offense.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm like, as it's happening, we're texting back and forth, and you were kind of waiting for some clarification on a text message that you were having with a source. And I'm like, hey, man, get it out in the insiders chat real quickly, because you never know when this stuff could kind of break. And then all of a sudden we look and it starts going everywhere and going, apoplectic. So kudos to you for breaking that on that podcast. I think that was, there's so much to get into with this move. We got Jay Schroeder saying, being an insider, it is great. Thank you, Jay. Alex Barber saying that Matt called it. And I think what he's referring to is an insider text that I sent out a little while ago. I'm going to search for it here and I'll read this out because I think it'll help give people an understanding at what they can get in the insider chat. This was the one, actually. It's been a slow moving free agency at wide receiver, but we're starting to heat up a little bit after the Gabe Davis deal yesterday. Darnell Mooney is the next high profile wide receiver free agent to sign. I sent this out in the text group. He's going to Atlanta to team with Drake London and Kirk Cousins. He gets a reported 3-year, $39 million deal. I don't think the Bills can hand out a deal like this to a receiver. It's why Mooney wasn't on my original 5 list of targets that I sent out in the insider chat, because that money isn't possible for the Bills at the moment. I think Samuel might still be an option if the number is right. And Ryan, the number was right.
The number was more than right, Matt. And, you know, you looked at the Pro Football Focus projection. They had it at about $8.5 million was their projection for Samuel. Spotrac, which we've talked about, you know, their projections, market value sometimes fluctuate. They had him at $11.5 million per season. So the Bills coming in at around $8 million per year on average. That's a good price tag for a player that's going to come in and already knows the offensive system that Joe Brady wants to utilize. For that alone, I thought this was a huge signing, Matt.
Definitely. And this was, I think the Bills needed to do something at wide receiver. Like, you know, I like the Mac Hollins addition. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, but that always was a wide receiver 4-5 fringe kind of addition. To me, Samuel is the kind of big ticket item. I mean, going into free agency, if you kind of tiered the wide receivers that are free agency, I think there's some people that would have made an argument that Curtis Samuel was in that top tier of this year's class, especially once guys like T. Higgins, Mike Evans were either franchise or extended and kind of taken off the board. This was the best of the rest. And I think Calvin Ridley, while he's a great top prize, right? Like, I guess for the valuable players, I think he got drastically overpaid. I think what he's going to potentially mean in that offense, it's anybody's guess because there's such a question mark at quarterback. I think what the Bills are getting in Curtis Samuel is a guy that has familiarity, like you mentioned, with the offensive coordinator, the front office, the, you know, the pro scouts that, you know, have spent all this time studying what he means for their offense and trying to marry it to the vision for Brady. That's obviously in place, but you have a general manager in Brandon Bean that was on the staff in Carolina that drafted him. So there's this like really intimate understanding of the player, the package that he brings from a skill set perspective. And what was the thing happening at the end of last year, Ryan, with the Bills? They were trying to run those wide receiver bubble screens ad nauseum with Stephon Diggs, right? I never thought that that was, you know, best place to utilize your star boundary wide receiver. To me, you bring in a guy like Curtis Samuel and pay the premium price that you had to pay because that is his role. He fits into it perfectly. And that will open up other guys in this offense to do certain things.
Yeah, listen, this is a Swiss Army knife. You can give him the ball in the backfield. He has a history of running with the ball as well. Had a career high 41 carries with Joe Brady in 2020, the career year that he went over 1,000 total yards. He had 38 2 years ago in Washington. He averages almost 6 yards per carry with the ball in his hand, so he can hurt you in that way. The bubble screens, you mentioned it. What I love about him as a receiver is he creates separation, about 3.3 yards right out of the gate. Next gen stats mentioned that among wide receivers with, in terms of burst, right, the first yard or so, he was the third best receiver in the league. I can read that tweet out here in a few minutes. So, you know, we talked a lot last season about these guys just can't get open off the line. They're struggling to create that separation. That's something that Curtis Samuel still does at a very, very high level. And oh, by the way, he can play inside. He can play outside. You have three players now in Stephon Diggs and Khalil Shakir and in Curtis Samuel at receiver that you can move inside, outside. You can use them in a variety of ways, and that's exactly what I think Joe Brady is looking for with his offense.
Yeah, I got that tweet up now from Next Gen Stats. It was 9.08 miles per hour within the first second of his routes in 2023, which was the third quickest in the NFL behind Trey Palmer in Tampa Bay, A.J. Brown in Philadelphia, and he ranked just above Tyreek Hill's 9.03 and Chris Olave at 9.02. And, you know, Bills wide receivers averaged 7.95 miles per hour burst last season, which ranked 29th in the NFL. So this gives them a major uptick. Gabe Davis at 8.25, and then Stephon Diggs, which is a little bit surprising, at 7.73. But you think about that, and I think a lot of that probably has to do with the way that, you know, Stephon Diggs tries to set up defensive backs that he's facing. So there's a lot of nuance to the craft when he's working on the outside. So it's actually not super surprising. Like, he's not trying to just always get on you super quick, but I think in the role that Curtis Samuel is going to play in the offense, it makes a lot more sense that he's going to try to get on people a little bit quicker. And depending on where he lines up, I mean, you know, it's anybody's guess. I mean, they're going to probably use him as a chess piece in this offense.
Yeah, and that's the perfect way to use him because, like I said, you can put him in the backfield. He was in the backfield at times in Carolina. You can put him in the slot, and you can put him on the outside. You can use him in multiple fashions, in a multiple ways, getting the ball in his hands right out of the gate or having him run downfield. There was a great tweet, and it came out in 2021 saying Curtis Samuel would have had something like 1,500 yards receiving in 2019 if he had good quarterback play. And it was all these routes of him running wide open and just terrible throws. And, you know, that's another layer to this. He's played with pretty much bad quarterbacks throughout his career. He had one good year of Cam Newton in his rookie year. Cam Newton fell off the following season. Then you're talking about quarterbacks like Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineke. He had Teddy Bridgewater. And then Sam Howell was one of them in Washington, as well as Carson Wentz. So this is his first opportunity with an elite high-level quarterback, and it's going to be exciting to see what he can do with this in this offense.
Yeah, so if you look at the Washington offense last year, obviously Terry McLaurin playing the majority of his snaps on the boundary, but then you look at the other collection of receivers, and you have Jamison Crowder, who played 87% of his snaps out of the slot, Byron Pringle, who spent 50% of his snaps in the slot, De'Ami Brown, who spent 32%, Jahan Dotson, 42% in the slot, and then Curtis Samuel at 70% in the slot. And that's one of the things that I saw initially, a question mark is like, okay, you bring in Curtis Samuel, you had Khalil Shakir, who kind of fit into that slot role last year. But I think depending on the offense, you could have multiple players that are playing like a lot of snaps in the slot. It doesn't have to be like you're fitting into one bucket. There's going to be multiple alignments. There's going to be nuance to the scheme that Joe Brady kind of devises here. And I think they'll figure out a way to get Curtis Samuel on the field, whether that be putting him in the slot on the outside in the backfield and still finding ways to emphasize Khalil Shakir's game. And listen, it's going into year three for Khalil Shakir. I know we've talked a lot about him having the slot role kind of, you know, figured out for the Bills, but I don't want to put him necessarily in that box either and say that he can't evolve into something more and be used more on the boundary in his own right moving forward into 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, this signing is big for Khalil Shakir, in my opinion. You know, last year around this time, we mentioned in passing, oh, you know, David Edwards has some experience in Aaron Cromer's on his offensive line. And that's going to help with the terminology. It's going to help with learning what Cromer's looking for. And we saw the O-line as a whole play this, you know, make this big leap from year one to year two. And Edwards being that extra O-lineman. This is a guy that's coming in. He's going to be able to teach Khalil Shakir everything that he learned under Joe Brady in those two seasons. Oh, well, this is what Joe's going to want you to do on this play. Here's what, you know, here's what I learned from him in this system. It's going to be a learning experience for Khalil Shakir to have Curtis Samuel as someone to listen to. And it's going to help Stephon Diggs too. I know Diggs is great in his own right, but having someone that knows the system, because Joe Brady is going to come in here and implement his own offense. He's not going to bring over that Ken Dorsey offense and add wrinkles to it. This is going to be his offense, and Curtis Samuel's played in it for two seasons or almost two seasons. So that is a major addition for this Bills offense from that regard. And I really just, again, it's going to benefit these younger players. And a lot of things on social media, I think people think, one, Curtis Samuel is older than he is and that he's less durable than he is. I had a lot of responses to my article about that. One, he's only 27 years old, Matt, turns 28 this year. And two, he played 33 games over the last two seasons, had a five-game season before that, and played in 31 games the 2 years before that. So I don't see much in terms of durability concerns. This is something where he's missed significant time, two of the last three of the last four seasons. I'd get that, but he's been on the field more times than not.
And I feel like you're literally paying the premium for the prime of a player's career, and you're projecting that it's the fit with the offense, the quarterback. Like, this is your point about the quarterbacks is so important. I mean, this is the best quarterback that he will have ever played with. I mean, you can make the debate that maybe Cam Newton was better, but that was kind of at the tail end of Cam Newton, a little bit different. And I think Josh Allen is still well in the prime of his career. I mean, look at these quarterbacks. Mike Catalana put this tweet out earlier today. Taylor Heineke, Kyle Allen, Will Greer, Teddy Bridgewater, P.J. Walker, Carson Wentz, and Sam Howell. that he's played with over the last couple of years. It's just been murderer's row of just absolutely average quarterbacks. And so I think getting a chance to play with Josh Allen, you can kind of reimagine what his ceiling is when you get that kind of talent around him. I think because of what he can do, take some of what they asked Stephon Diggs to do last year off of his plate and kind of lean him into a little bit more of the stuff, that intermediate area, which I feel like took a hit last year for Stephon Diggs. Like, I think you want that to reemerge. Let's get into how you think this changes, if at all, the Bills' approach into the draft. Because for me, this changes nothing. To me, I think Curtis Samuel's role, even at that money, is in a perfect world wide receiver. I take Khalil Shakir out of the mix, right? To me, he's in his own bucket as like the slot plus player. Like I mentioned, he's the slot. He's played it. He played that role last year at the end of the year, but he could do other things too, and there's potential there. So I take him out. You got Diggs at wide receiver one. I think Samuel at best is wide receiver three, two, if you don't find somebody in the draft. But I think you want to try to find that like true X receiver in the draft, whoever that ends up being, that can come in here day one, who is a high-end draft pick that you can build around, that maybe is the wide receiver one of the future, and then have Curtis Samuel in almost like a supplementary role where you can utilize him in so many different formations. And, you know, the more pieces that you have, the better off you be. I don't think that's changed anything. I still think there's a world we live in where they draft two wide receivers.
I agree with that completely. This does not eliminate wide receiver in round one or round two. I don't know. You know, the more I look at the Bills' needs, though, the more I think that they might be in a better spot to take an edge rusher or a D tackle in round one. But this has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with Curtis Samuel. In terms of the best player available, if it's a wide receiver, the Bills should absolutely take one in round one or on day two of the draft with their second round pick. Because again, you're also thinking for the future. You have Stephon Diggs, who is getting up there in age, and Curtis Samuel is here on a 3-year deal. So you want to look for that heir apparent for that wide receiver one. And if the right guy falls into your lap, whether it's round one or round two, or if you want to double dip in this draft, by all means do so, because yes, you have some guys here. I know there's a lot of Bills fans that love Justin Shorter and his upside, and he looks the part for sure. It'll be interesting to see what he does here in year two, but there's a lot of opportunities on this offense for wide receivers to step up and get chances to play.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of wide receivers and potential opportunities, we got to talk about the other Buffalo Bills addition at wide receiver. We talked to Mac Hollins today, and you know, it's funny because when he was signed going to free agency, it's like you try to temper Bills fans' expectations for what is to come in free agency, because listen, they just don't have the kind of money. Although it was interesting to see them kind of get down the road a little bit with Eric Armstead, defensive tackle, and I want to talk about that in a second. But let's spend some time talking about Mac Hollins. Before we do, though, big announcement time. Most of the people watching right now, I think, know this already. But if you don't, and I'm going to put it out on Twitter tomorrow morning as like a 24-hour final push, we are going to be at Wingnuts with the big end-of-the-week free agency recap show. We'll get into everything. We'll get into a deeper dive on all the players, the reimagining what this offense and defense looks like with the additions that the Bills have made and some of the people that are not on the roster anymore and what the Bills still have to do to replace those people. We're going to do it at Wingnuts, 1402 Millersport Highway, 6 p.m. on Saturday night. Ryan's going to be in Buffalo all day long, right? It's going to be a big day.
Huge day. 316 day is the former pro, you know, the pro wrestling fan, Steve Austin fan in me would say. So looking forward to being in Buffalo all day. Kids have some teeth cleanings in the morning, and we'll be out and about and all over Buffalo throughout the day. So hopefully I run into some of the Bills Mafia before, and hopefully we see a ton of you out at Wingnuts on Saturday night.
Speaking of 316 day, I've seen some conspiracy theories on the social media platforms that Stone Cold Steve Austin could be getting into the mix here over the next couple of weeks with The Rock now slated to be at WrestleMania. I got to be honest with you. When the whole Cody Rhodes thing happened and he took away what was supposed to be Rock versus Roman, which would have got me super hyped to actually go and watch WrestleMania, I saw one video that said that they're switching to Cody versus Roman, and then they're going to put Austin versus Rock at WrestleMania. And I don't know. Like, I feel like it's been too long. That can't happen at this point. There's not enough lead up, but I'm all in on that. What do you think about that for WrestleMania 41?
I don't see that happening, but I'll tell you this. Austin came back last year, 2 years ago. And now it kind of all blurs together.
Fuck Kevin Owens, right?
Yeah. Great. And that was a great match. Like, looked like he could still go, but it was because he was with a great worker. The Rock's a guy that's been in Hollywood more times than not over the past decade. So you would have to get him in there with a worker more than anything else.
He'll lay at the SmackDown on the Rattlesnake. All right. Yeah. And he'll show him a thing or two out there. That was my guy from way back. All right. We don't want to mark out too much on this, this podcast. I was a big Rock guy back in the day. And I got to say the exchanges with Cody and the bloodline and all that, they've been fun to watch. All right. You know who's going to text me is Zach Sheldon from Training Sports.
Yeah.
You're on the WrestleMania show. It's done. That's all I want to talk about, though. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I'm interested in. All right. So Mac Hollins, Bills add him. And to me, it's like a really interesting addition because he checks a ton of boxes, right? He's played a lot of special teams over the course of his career. He's a very willing blocker, which I think, like, that's the important part of it. And I asked him about that today, like, just the mindset of being a blocker. And he's like, you know, you have to have the mindset, like, you're going to be open to it. And if you don't, you know, you see the guys on tape, it just doesn't go well for them. So I think that's something that those two things really interested the Bills in Hollins based on those factors. But he also seems like just like a guy that gets really competitive and somebody that's willing to use his size, his physicality. He's got some explosiveness. Look at some of his highlights. Like, he wins down the field too. I think he could do a lot of different things. I think the Bills they're building a basketball team. And I listened to the Athletic Football Show, and I think Nate Tice and Robert Mays do a really good job on there. Nate Tice, former football player, football coach. And they talk about this on their show a lot about when you're building your offense, you want to put together a basketball team, guys that can do multiple things, different things, so you can mix and match. And you look at what Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid can do at the tight end room, Stephon Diggs, a potential first or second round wide receiver, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Khalil Shakir, you know, potentially Justin Shorter and Andy Isabella or KJ Hamler. There's all these different kinds of skill sets. And I think you got to get really excited about that. And I think Mac Hollins to me is like, all right, we bring in Trent Sherfield last year, Deontay Hardy, neither of them really found a niche. Usually this regime learns their lessons for when they take swings and they don't, you know, make contact. Maybe this is a contact play in Mac Hollins, something that they've scouted and they think can fit in their offense.
Yeah, I like Mac Hollins from the blocking perspective. He reminds me a little bit of the Trent Sherfield addition in that regard. I know Sherfield was coming off of a career year as a receiver in Miami, though, so it's slightly different there. But it wasn't that many years ago that Hollins had a career year with the Raiders. So he's shown some receiving ability when given opportunities. I like the size at 6 feet, 4 inches. That's someone that in the red zone could end up being a target for Josh Allen. I don't see him having a huge role in this offense, but there's going to be in the run game, the blocking, that'll be big. And like I said, the red zone. But on special teams, Matt, that's where he's going to get his game day jersey every week. He's going to be that special teams gunner. That was his specialty. And it's something that he's going to be able to do here in Buffalo, here in the respect in Miami doing that. He was a captain on the team in his second season there. So he brings a lot to the team. The more you can do, the better is something Sean McDermott's always believed in. It's a reason why a guy like Isaiah Hodgins a few years ago, they had trouble getting him onto a roster. He didn't do the special teams aspect of it. So a guy like Mac Hollins, he does it. He does all three phases of special teams. He can help you on the offense, and that alone makes him a valuable contributor.
I want to go back to Curtis Samuel for a quick second because, you know, one of the things that kind of going through all the reactions on social media, you mentioned it earlier, but diving into it a little bit more is just whether or not this is even should be considered a big splash. And if you don't consider this a big splash, I almost wonder if then the price tag on this thing is something that gives you a little bit of a pit in your stomach, because the Bills given Curtis Samuel a 3-year contract worth $24 million. It could escalate up to 31, like we mentioned. And so you only hand out a contract like that if this is somebody that you have, you know, big expectations for, considering the salary cap situation that the Bills are in. And I do want to mention the first year salary cap hit is probably expected to come in somewhere in the $4 to $6 million range. I would imagine with the way a lot of these deals have been structured, I think they'll try to keep it as low as possible in 24 to kind of fit things into what they're doing. But even with that said, I'm looking at Mike Clay's list. He does a great job over at ESPN. He puts out this big free agent board at the beginning of every year. So T. Higgins, take him off. Mike Evans, take him off, right? Pittman, take him off right at the jump, because all those guys didn't even really get to the free agency period. Calvin Ridley, number one. Marquise Hollywood Brown at number two. Gabe Davis at number three. Michael Thomas at number four. Odell Beckham Jr. at number five, Tyler Boyd at number six, and Curtis Samuel at number seven is how he has those guys listed. I think you can make an argument that I'd put Curtis Samuel over Michael Thomas.
Easily.
I might put Curtis Samuel over Gabriel Davis, only from the sense that of what I think he can do and the fact that you're paying him much less per season to do it.
I would put him above OBJ as well, in terms of, we don't really know what he
tank. So I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah. So, you know, with Gabe Davis, I like Gabe Davis a lot. I think Curtis Samuel's a better fit for what the Bills are going to try to do with him than, you know, Gabe Davis. They brought him in as a fourth round pick. He had some great moments, but this past season, it really just didn't work for whatever reason. Curtis Samuel has that 4-3-1-40 time. We've already talked about the different ways you can use him and utilize him. He's got a lot to his game. Like I said, he's a Swiss Army knife. So in terms of fit for this scheme, I think that he might be a better fit in Buffalo than what Gabe Davis would have been if they would have brought him back. In terms of like listing the free agents, I have no problem with Gabe Davis being listed above him. But yeah, he's high up there. I mean, I would have had him arguably in the top five or six. I was very big on Mooney as well, so I would have had him in the mix there somewhere too. But I think this is a great addition for the Bills, and the price was right. They didn't pay the type of money that Mooney received, that Gabe Davis received. So I like it from that respect as well.
One of the other moves the Bills have done, and they've been very quiet, Ryan. I mean, we talked about the Morrow deal on the show a couple of days ago that happened while we were broadcasting. The other move of note is Ty Johnson, backup running back, is back in the mix. And I think this was one that we were both in agreement with throughout this period of the last month and a half, one that the Bills had to find a way to get it done, because he was really important to what they did towards the end of the season. I still think there's even more of a role for him next season as running back two, going into the season and kind of like building on that throughout the year. I still think that they're probably going to draft a running back, and who knows, they'll probably bring in a vet, again, go that approach. I mean, one guy out there that I thought had a little bit more juice left than I thought was Ezekiel Elliott. If you can get him on a kind of a lower end deal as like that Latavius Murray kind of style runner this year, I really like that move. But I wouldn't do anything that takes away from getting Ty Johnson the ball in that number two role. And so I think that's why maybe the draft is the best route.
And Ty Johnson showed a lot of juice, as the term goes, last season with the ball in his hands as a runner, as a receiver, showed that he could handle some of those running back two responsibilities in terms of passing, you know, keeping one Leonard Fournette on the practice squad at that point, keeping Latavius Murray on the bench and off the field. He really did look the part. And, you know, if he ends up as the running back too, I'm comfortable with that. But yeah, you know, I keep going back to Audric Estime in the draft, a short yardage bruising back out of Notre Dame would be a great fit, a guy that you can get in those middle rounds. He's not someone that's going to go early in this draft. There's going to be a lot of guys like that, though, in terms of that. If you're looking for that short yardage bruising back, there's some options for you that you can get on day three. So to get a guy cheap like that on a few-year deal, bring him in, compete. If they can't beat out Ty Johnson, it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, Johnson can also help you on special teams. So not a flashy name in terms of like national media. It's not going to catch a lot of bylines, but for the Bills, it made more than enough sense to bring him back.
It makes more than enough sense for everybody to get to Wingnuts on Saturday night at 6 p.m., 1402 Millersport Highway. Come out and watch Shout Live. We're going to get into everything. Who's in, who's out, what it means for the rest of this offseason, and kind of reset the deck a little bit here as, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about the Bills kind of like falling in the hierarchy with how many, you know, players and snaps are leaving the team and what they brought in back at this point. But I really caution people against this. Like, to me, this feels like the offseason for the Chiefs a couple of years ago when Tyreek Hill was gone and they were having to kind of reimagine everything. There are a lot of changes on the defensive side of the ball. They invested a lot of draft capital in the defensive side of the ball. They brought in a couple of different players. And I know Sky Moore didn't work out right away and still hasn't really worked out, but they hit the next year on who did they just bring in that had the big year for them? I got him in my Dynasty League. Who's their young wide receiver?
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm blinking. Oh, my gosh. He was outstanding.
Oh, Rashee Rice.
Thank you.
That was going to really drive me nuts. So, you know, I don't even think the Bills say they don't hit on a wide receiver. I'm not putting that out not putting that mojo out there. But, you know, I don't even think they need to necessarily right away. But just think what that can mean for the offense if they find a real weapon in the draft coming up here. I think there's a chance for this offense to be really good because I think when you have the continuity, when you have a returning offensive coordinator I think there's an argument to be made that he's going to be even better next year with 9 months to prepare for what this offense is going to look like. They've kind of built it a little bit in his vision a little bit more so. And I'm interested to learn more about that over the course of the offseason. I think there's a lot to get into to projecting what this is going to be. And I think people that are closing the door on the Bills are just, again, it's just people are in such a rush to hate on what has been a very successful organization for the last four seasons. I get they haven't gotten over the hump, but I don't see people really jumping off the 49ers bandwagon. And I know they've gotten to the Super Bowl two times, but at the end of the day, you could take those Super Bowl trips and put them in the same bucket as the Bills because it doesn't end with a ring at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I saw national media, two national media members, Ryan Clark and Stephen A. Smith, talking about the window being shut for the Bills, and it's
not. Oh, yeah, we want to talk about that.
No, we don't. We don't want to give any more publicity.
Funny is the Lamar Jackson argument over Allen. I just don't know where you go. And I am a Lamar Jackson fan. Like, I think that he's a great player. I think that he is in one of the elite tiers where you want to put him. That's neither here nor there, but like to rank him over Josh Allen with the playoff success that Josh Allen has had, the playoff numbers that he's had, the regular season numbers. And what's the one caveat, like the turnovers? Lamar Jackson had 6 fumbles last year. Right. Like that's never brought up. I don't understand it. We're not having like an intelligent conversation when it comes to like comparing these quarterbacks.
And if you're talking postseason too, Josh Allen shows up and keeps his team in games. Lamar Jackson against in these big moments, he's really faded where he's had elite defensive performances, but he can't, you know, the offense with him being the leader can't put up more than 13 points. It's a real talking point. I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson as well. I think he isn't a top tier quarterback in this league, but if you're asking me between the two, I'm taking Josh Allen all day. But you look around the league, you see, you know, the Houston Texans had a really good season. They've added some big name players in free agency. I get all the love there. You have the Chiefs, who will always be right in that talk. Miami looks like they're going all in on this season, which rightfully so. Once you start paying Tua big money and you have to pay Jalen Waddle big money, they're not going to be able to splurge the way that they have so far this offseason. But the list goes on and on. There's the Colts. There's the Ravens. I think the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh are going to be a much better team than what we've seen out of the Chargers in many years. And like I said, those are just a few examples. The Browns will be great. The Bengals back too. So the list goes on and on. Yes, Jacksonville too. So I get the talking point that it's just going to get tougher in the AFC, but the Bills always have a chance with Josh Allen. And, you know, adding a piece like Curtis Samuel certainly helps as well.
Come out and join us Saturday night. Wingnuts, 1402 Millersport Highway. We cannot wait. We're going to dive deeper. Who knows? There may be a signing or two more that we got to start the show with, but we will talk about. I want to really get into the Eric Armstead, how much the Bills potentially were in on that, what it means, and now how it maybe changes things. Like, there's a couple of guys out there in free agency, Ryan. We'll see if maybe the Bills add one of them, but it is not pretty in the defensive tackle market right now. So I think that that means, you know, you want to talk about a double dip at a position. We've been talking about wide receiver all these year, these weeks. Probably looking at that in the draft too. We'll get into that and so much more on Saturday at Wing Nuts. We'll eat great wings. We'll drink delicious beers. We'll see you then. Take care, everybody.